don't be cruel to show the truth. Well, I can't help it. NXT is just not very good at the moment. Which is strange, because Stand and Deliver was really rather good. But the NXTs around it have not been good, and have been rather poor. But that's not for want of trying, is it? If you got points for that, they'd be at the top of the league. But they're not. No, they are not. So, let me explain to you why this might be. First of all, we have Noam Dar versus Dijak. Oh, after we've seen some Trick Williams fans, of course. Oh, yes, he's got the fans out there, of course. He has. Oh, yes. So, Noam Dar versus Dijak. What does Dijak have to do to get a good program? He looked fantastic against Obafemi and Josh Briggs on Stand and Deliver, or in Stand and Deliver, or at Stand and Deliver, or at Stand and Deliver. He nearly won. And he was coming from a program with Joe Gacy for no reason. And now he's got a program with Noam Dar for no reason. Because he wanders about and gets into people's conversations and they go, oh, well, let's fight then. Yeah, let's. And then they do. And Dijak makes a good showing. And Noam Dar knows what he's doing here. And spoiler alert, here, Dijak didn't even win. I think it was on a distraction, but blimmin' heck. They're trying to bury Dijak. And he is constantly reanimating. So let me take you through this match. Dar tried for the legs earlier on. Because, you know, you cut the big man down, don't you? Forearm takes Dijak down. He worked the arm. Dijak hit a fantastic clothesline. Dar got the standing tarantula. It's lovely. It looks so good. And then Dijak cradles him and throws him over the top. Just tosses him over the top rope. Fabulous. Love it. There is a seated... They're both sitting together and there's some slaps. And then Dijak kicks him. That's very nice. Dar throws him into the steps. Back in the ring with a 2.999 pin attempt. And I did like Dar's, oh, kind of face. Oh, I thought that was going to be a pin. That sort of face, very sad. Then Dijak gets a super kick and the Feast Your Eyes attempt. But there's a distraction from Mensah, who's wearing some kind of mask. I don't know what it is. I don't really care. Dijak falls to the Nova Roller for the pin. Why? What? Why? I mean, I don't want Noam Dar to lose either. But why put them together? What's gained from this? Dijak now looks, you know, they've tried to bury him again. It looks like that. And what does Dar gain for it? What does Noam Dar gain by putting Dijak down? Nothing. What does Dijak gain from losing to Noam Dar? Absolutely nothing. Then we've got Ava and Ilya. Ilya Dragunov, the champion, and Ava, the supposed general manager. There's an open challenge. That's what Ilya wants, and Ava's happy to do that. Happy to give that to us. And actually, that will be the best moment of NXT this week. In a moment, I'll tell you about it in a moment. I'm so excited, so excited! Meanwhile, Paxley has got a very intense package and a kind of, a promo, I mean. And I don't get too excited. And a kind of sassy delivery. Yeah, she's gone bad. And, she was bad already, wasn't she? She's just gone bad with a different person. Okay, Sol Ruka versus Lola Vice. Now, Sol Ruka, great, is back, of course. Hasn't missed a step. Lola Vice, who, of course, is a breakout winner, isn't she? Doesn't seem to be on an upward trajectory. It's the Dijak factor. The Dijak factor. She's just not really... She's not really being prioritised here. She's in a programme with Sol Ruka. She's not anywhere near the championship. But this match was all right. There's a Sol Ruka cartwheel wrist lock takedown, which is lovely. Drop kick. Some Lola Vice quick kicks. You know those really fast kicks as she's as she's pushing him into the corner. That's really nice. There's a Ruka power slam and kicks as well. Blair Davenport's then out, grabs the leg off the top. Sol Ruka's a crash to the mat. Lola Vice gets the kick, gets the pin. There's Natalya on video saying she wants to fight her on NXT Underground. Really? That's like wrestling Horlicks for me. It's my cocoa. I'll have a very nice night's sleep with that one. Very nice. Now, Ariana Grace and Gigi Dolin are in the park. It's nice, isn't it? Oh, it's nice to get out. Oh, it's so warm. It's so lovely. And there's an ice cream. And you can have a horse ride, you know, in one of those little horse and cart buggy things. Very nice. Or you could go on the swings, couldn't you? Or the slide. What she wants to do is to soften Gigi Dolin. And I must have missed something. Gigi Dolin's quite happy with this. She's not said, I'll kill you, or anything like that. Or beat her up. Or smacked her in the face with a swing or anything like that. It seems fine. And we're going to have another one of these promos later on. So, don't use all your excitement now. Save some up. Now, we've got Rich Holland versus Joaquin Wilde. He attacks him on Anonymous, and then they fight. Because last week, when Rich Holland stormed out, he smacked Joaquin Wilde's hand. I thought it was Cruz's hand he smacked. Maybe it was, and Joaquin Wilde is saying, he's my brother, and consequently, I don't know, do I? I don't really care. Rich Holland told us that he was retiring. Now, I know people in wrestling retire and then come back under a mask. You know, Rich Holland could come back as Ridge Boland. You know, Hidge Roland. You know, that sort of thing. Yeah. And, yeah, it's... I don't know, maybe they didn't get the kind of crowd swell or crowd concern that they wanted, and so he's back. Maybe it's that. But whatever it is, I don't really care. I don't care about it. And this match was all right. I mean, Joaquin Wilde hit a drop kick. Holland got some forearms in, a headbutt, Enziguri throws, and then Sean Spears is out to watch, standing there, because Rich Holland seems to be an acolyte of Sean Spears now. Now, you don't really want an acolyte. You don't really want to be an acolyte of someone who's not even on the main stand and deliver card. He's not even on the main stand and deliver card. Not, none of that. You know, on the warm-up show, he didn't even win. So anyway, back in the ring, I'm just giving him a bit of career advice, really, you know. There is a springboard kick and neck breaker from Joaquin Wilde. Rich Holland catches a dive, hits a power slam on the floor and the Northern Grit for the win, which I expected to happen, but I don't understand why it happened, because it's Rich Holland. Very few of us care. And again, sucks to be Rich Holland. Not as much as it sucks to be Dijak, but there you go. Now, here's Reese, Brittany Reese, with Blade and Inoffi working out. They're working out at the gym, at the Gaim. And then we've got Andre and Thea talking, he's got a mea culpa. She seems to accept it. It's upset him or something, I don't know. Something like that, I don't know. And he's trying to win back her he's trying to curry favour with her, I suppose, and she's accepted it. She likes the flavour of his curry, and that's fair enough. It's not biryani. That would be too hot. It would be some kind of korma or danzak. Something very, very bland. I mean, when they let Andre Chase do his own thing, I like that, but all this kind of, now you must be like this, just doesn't work. He's not an actor, is he? Anyway, she'll fight later on, and he'll be in her corner, and everything seems to be okay. This is not okay. This is La Famiglia and Tony D'Angelo with a very not... I mean, it's a kind of grey and darker grey striped suit. Like one of those... You know, do you remember... there's a Pink Panther film with... This might be only an English thing I'm talking about, really. There's a Pink Panther film with Peter Sellers as Inspector Clouseau. And at one point, he plays a huge kind of mafia don with a big loads of big padding. Now, I'm not saying in any way, shape or form that that Tony D'Angelo's has put weight on, but he looks massive. He looks a bit padded in that suit. And here comes, actually, Tony's telling us that he lost, but it's learning for him. And then we've got the No Quarter Catch crew coming out. Charlie Dempsey not really being able to hang with Tony D'Angelo as far as the behind the stick quality goes. Apparently, they want to talk business, and apparently the No Quarter Catch crew are in arrears. I don't know what that means. I don't know whether it means they owe money. I don't know whether it means they taught them something to so they could win the Heritage Cup. I don't know what it means. And I don't really care, because all it is a setup for them to fight. And they're going to fight in some way. Maybe now Tony D'Angelo's thought, I can't get the heavyweight title. Let's try for that Heritage Cup. I suspect he will. And I suspect he'll win. He has to, really. Because, in a way, Stax or Crucifino should win it. But Tony D'Angelo needs to, because he's lost face by not beating Ilya, really. Talking of Ilya, here's the best moment of the show. It is when Ilya Dragunov calls for the open challenge and the whole locker room rush down to ringside. And the person who makes it out of the melee is Javon Evans. Now, they've got a lot of time for Javon Evans, haven't they? Clearly they have. And, you know, they want to see that he's at the top. You know, he's at the top of the tree. He can hang with Ilya Dragunov, and Dragunov's the champion. So Javon Evans must be good. And actually, to be honest, he is. In this match, he is. And it's partly to do with Ilya Dragunov, allowing him to sell and all of that and to get his offense in. They trade shots. Great suplex from Dragunov. Real pep. Lots of suplexes, in fact, with pep. Lots of pep. Pep, pep, pep. Pep, 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 pep. And chops and a boot wash from Dragunov. Lovely springboard enziguri from Evans. Massive clothesline, which turns Evans inside out. Inside out. That's how you... Oh! And nice sliced bread. Tight sliced bread from Javon Evans. Lovely. Then you've got a 2.999 recurring as because he catches Evans coming off the top with a knee. Lovely roll through buckle Death Valley Driver. DVD Death Valley Driver from Ilya and Torpedo Moscow for the pin. They shake hands afterwards. That's the rub you need, Javon Evans. That's the rub you need. But where are you going to go? Who are you going to beat? You can't beat Obafemi. You can't. Not for the North American title. So what are you going to do? Fight for the Heritage Cup? I don't think it's your kind of thing, is it? You want a belt, don't you? And there aren't very many about. Not in NXT at the moment. Here's Thea Hale. Told you that. Andre Chase is with her. And she's facing Tatum Paxley. Now, Sol Ruka wants Davenport at Spring Break. And she'll get Davenport at Spring Break. That was so exciting, I dropped my glasses. So she'll get her at Spring Break, I feel sure of that. And back in the ring, Paxley kind of creeps around. There's a choke and a low crossbody from Paxley. A low crossbody to the back, actually, which is aping Lyra Valkyria's move, isn't it? Then a Paxley enziguri throw, an inverted surfboard-type move, which is just lovely. Hale then gets a springboard sent on, but Jasmine Nix and JC Jane are out. It's a distraction for the Paxley pin. Now, Paxley should have won. Well, it should have been some kind of DQ. But she shouldn't win on a distraction, because they're trying to create this character and she's already winning in a tainted way. Tainted way, that's how she's winning. Tainted way. It was good freneticism, because afterwards you've got Hale and JC Jane fighting, and in the ring, Lyra Valkyria and Paxley fighting. Everybody's fighting. Katie, bar the door. Yeah. Now, Ava wants a triple threat for Roxanne Perez, for Tatum Paxley, and for Lyra Valkyria at Spring Break. Roxanne Perez didn't look most pleased with that, and I can understand why. It's not the best thing, is it? But it'll be a good match, you know that. I'm looking forward to that. That's the only thing I'm looking forward to for Spring Break. The only thing. I don't know the other matches, though, do I? Maybe that's got something to do with it. Okay, The Authors of Pain with Paul Ellering. You know The Authors of Pain, Rezar and Alam, they called that. They're with that Last Testament. They're called Last Testament. I don't know, do I? They were there last week, weren't they? Carrying crosses, one of them, isn't he? Nice to see Precious Paul, though, isn't it? And, of course, they've been here before, have the Powers of Pain. No, The Authors of Pain. How dare you, Steve? The Authors of Pain. Okay. So they're facing Blade and Inoffi. I wonder who's going to win. I mean, again, it sucks to be Blade and Inoffi, doesn't it? Because they're a great tag team. But they're not being given a decent shake, have they? I mean, it doesn't suck to be Blade and Inoffi as much as it sucks to be Dijak. That goes without saying, even though I just said it. But, yeah, there you go. So this match is all right, you know, because these two can work. Blade and Inoffi work well together, but there's a buckle bomb and some big shots from the Authors of Pain. The Authors of Pain. Let's have a look and see what the introduction is. Ow! Chapter one. Oh! Yeah. Then you've got Inoffi's head smacked into the mat, actually, quite a lot. It looked quite brutal. And an atomic drop into a go-to-sleep. It's lovely. Blade got a really nice, fully extended dive. But he got slammed, and the Powers of Pain, the Authors of Pain, they won, and there's an axiom down to say, hey, how dare you, we are the champions. Don't give them that kind of rub. You're the champions, have a sense of propriety. They've only been here 5 minutes. I know they were here before, but they're not the number one contenders, are they? Then who is? Gallows and Anderson. Oh yeah, I'd rather have the Powers of Pain. The Authors of Pain. I'd rather have anyone than Gallows and Anderson. Good God. Right, next we've got Dolin in a shop picking up some kind of princessy clothes, and she picks a dress up and goes to, you know, she does, I'll try it on. And here's Ariana Grace. Oh my God. And she's taken her scissors to it, cut it up. And the two people who own the store, or who are working at the store, seem to think that's okay. Because she's not said she's buying it. She might just say, nah, it doesn't fit under the arms. Yeah, well, hang on a minute, you just cut the skirt up. Nah, I'll leave it, I think. Well, hang on a minute, you've taken her scissors to it. You're not going to get by on that kind of business model. You can't do that. You can't... Anyway, they seem very happy that she's cut it all up. Seems absolutely hilarious. What a marvellous... I mean, it's outside broadcast as well. For absolutely nothing. Okay. Ivar versus Briggs. Why? I mean, I know it's a kind of main roster rub, and, you know, they used to be in NXT, but why? Why? Sucks to be Briggs. I mean, clearly not as much as it sucks to be Dijak. But he's got kinesiology tape, whatever it's called. He got that tape on his back, has Briggs. And he lifts Ivar, sideslams him. Yeah. Then there's a spinning slam from Ivar, powerbomb, for a long two count. There's a quite a poor shoulder block, actually. And I think it's because Ivar's so big that Briggs had trouble moving him, you know. Even though he had the momentum. And there's a roundhouse kick from Ivar, which is lovely, on the outside. And then, what a moonsault from Ivar for the pin. You've just buried Josh Briggs. You've got somebody coming into NXT who's not going to stay. And you are trying to push Josh Briggs. And you've just buried him. Why have you done that, NXT? Is that that's the end of it, is it? We're not going to give him anything else, that's it. Is it? It must be, mustn't it? Because why would you do that? Now, Obafemi literally runs into Oro Mensah, who is dumped onto the floor. So that's a bit of comedy for you, innit? And here's your main event. Before we get to the steel cage, we've got a long, long promo of Trick and Mello. And then we cut to the cage being put up. And it's being put up by the referees. Is that what we're doing now? Having referees putting up the cage? The cage, is it? Do referees have to do that now? Is that in their job descriptions? Anyway, it wasn't really very good. It was all right. I mean, it was better than, oh yeah, man. Uh-huh. I like it. Better than that, obviously, from Booker. But you've got a slam from Trick as Mello kind of jumps into it, really. Mello whips in with a belt. There's a Mello head scissors. Mello launches, actually really launches Trick into the cage. Misses a leap into the cage. Super Uranagi from Trick and a big roundhouse kick. Then he hit the neck breaker. Huge, again, Uranagi as Mello came off the top. And a counter DDT from Mello. Chant of this is awesome. Well, it's not awesome, is it? It's pretty good. It's not even great, in my view. And it was a little bit quiet. There was a period in the middle of this match where I thought, it's not on fire at all, this, is it? And Trick tried to bring it up by dint of him being quite popular, really. So Trick then smacks Mello's head several times into the cage, really softly. Oh, I can just feel the mesh denting me skin. It's a bit weird. Big kick. Security then get up onto the cage, on either side of the cage. Then there's a big dude. Security dude gets in the door, and he's thrown out by Trick. And his trousers have come down a bit, so you can see his bright red underpants. His undercrackers, as we call it. It wasn't great, to be honest. And then there's a kick, because Mello's got a chair. A trick kick to the chair, and then there's into the face. Then there's the pin. The best moment of NXT this week was people rushing down to the ring. That was it. It wasn't really very good, but I'll tell you what is. Go to patreon.com/ SNME Radio, SNME Radio, because there you will find loads of pop culture and wrestling podcasts, including this one. And if you feel that you want quality podcasts, and you're prepared to pay a bit of money, this is a bit of money. It's about $1 a week. That's fabulous for that kind of quality. Go there, download, smile. I didn't smile though with this. What a segue. Because it weren't all that good. But it's trying really hard. And I should be nicer to it. Shouldn't I? Ta-ta.